There are two short readings this morning. The first one comes from John chapter 10. I'm reading just verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And then John chapter 16 on page 1084, starting at verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Hazel. Have I got some power? Yes? Can you hear me? Yep. Hurrah. Good morning, Holy Trinity.
Good morning.
Let's just pray together. Father, thank you. You're already present here by your Holy Spirit. And that the desire of your heart is to make yourself known to us. Lord, we open our hearts to you. I know that you will have specific things you want to say to each one here. You know us so intimately. You know all that's going on in our lives. And so we welcome you to draw near. Amen. So Jesus said, and it's probably one of the most famous of all his promises, I have come to give you life to the full. That's just the most amazing, wonderful promise. Isn't it? Life to the full. What did he mean? I mean, some people would look on an abundant life as life with an abundance of stuff. I read a couple of weeks ago that John Lewis is now selling a duvet that costs, just think, what is the most you would pay for a duvet? Kate Webber, what's the most you would pay for a duvet? £70, okay? You've got to add just a few zeros on. John Lewis is selling a duvet for £10,000. Now, I don't know what's in that duvet. I really don't know. It's got to be quite a special duvet, really, hasn't it, to be worth £10,000? Kind of, you know, it's the cost of a garage. Full life in Richmond. Full life does not entail a £10,000 duvet, just to encourage you. It's actually the life Jesus is talking about is a life abundant with love, joy, and peace. In fact, it's a life full and abundant with God himself. So it's not the perfect problem-free life, but it is a life so full of Christ that even the problems become opportunities for him to transform us. So how does God give us life in its fullness? It's through the gift of the
Spirit.
Yes. So that's why today is such an amazing day for us. And it's not an accident that the gift of the Holy Spirit is often described in terms of fullness. And God's plan for you is life to the full through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is that your life? It's very easy to live a diminished life, a life that is smaller and meaner than God intends. And I guess we all do that to varying degrees. And I was praying this week, and on Tuesday morning, God gave me a picture that, in fact, I felt in some ways he gave me this talk this morning. And the picture I had in my mind was a prison cell. And I felt that often our lives are a bit more like life in a prison cell than life in abundance. And the first thing about a prison cell is that the door is locked and the windows are quite small. They're barred, and you can't see beyond the narrow confines of that space. And many of us live life just like that, with no vision and no expectation of what God can do. He's longing to break out. And the Holy Spirit comes and he breaks through locked doors and fills us with expectation of what God can do when we start to live life with him. Second thing about prison life is it's dull. It's really boring. It's the same routine, same boring diet, and a life full of the Holy Spirit is challenging, but it is not boring. The Holy Spirit sends you out of your comfort zone because he's a person. He actually speaks to us. And when he's around, life is exciting. You find you get little Holy Spirit prompts and you have to go and do things that you didn't quite expect. Third thing about the prison cell is you get a telly. Now, nowadays, that is here. Now, you might think that's not so bad, not so bad to have a telly in my little prison cell. But you see, abundant life involves doing, not just watching. Just raise a hand if you've seen Gogglebox. Anybody here seen the program Gogglebox? Few people have seen that. It's this program on telly which involves us watching other people watching telly. I'm just waiting for them to produce a program of people watching other people watching other people watching telly. And actually, I think it's quite easy to live life watching other people doing stuff for God. And we miss all that God has for us. And we end up spiritually flabby and bored because we have no exercise. It's not healthy. Praise God. Jesus promises us life to the full through his Spirit. So how does he do that? A couple of weeks ago, my dad sent me a verse that's just been totally filling my mind, and it's really spoken to me, and it was in our reading today from John chapter 16, verse 15. The Holy Spirit takes what is mine and makes it known to you, says Jesus. It's just the most wonderful verse, that the Holy Spirit should take what is God's and make it known to us. Because I'm so little, I can't know God on my own. And it was one of the great church fathers who said, it's only by God that we can know God. The Holy Spirit enables us to know God. Should we just say that together? The Holy Spirit enables us to know God. Who would you like to meet in real life? Just turn around to somebody near you and tell them somebody you'd really like to meet in real life. You've just got like 10 seconds to do that. Or you can think of someone. Okay, that's enough. I used to think if I could only meet the real flesh and blood Jesus, well, if I could only meet him, then that would be all right. But you see, the disciples, they met the real flesh and blood Jesus, and they were still really flaky. They still really messed up. And they had a degree of transformation from hanging around him, but actually only one of them could be near to him at any time. Jesus ascended into heaven, as we saw last week, so that we could all know God. This is just the most wonderful, wonderful news. It's the most precious thing in my life, that we can know God by the Spirit. It's probably the greatest compliment when someone really wants to spend time with you, wants to know you. God wants to spend time with you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. He actually wants to be your best friend. I thought that was a particular word for someone here, perhaps for more than one, that God wants you to know that he's going to be your very best friend. That's why Jesus said these amazing words. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Pentecost is the priceless gift of the knowledge of God, because God wants to know you. He loves you so much, not distantly, he wants to know you, but intimately. And Sheena has a lovely phrase she uses in her counseling, where she describes intimacy as into me see. And of course, that's what God wants for you and for me. He wants us to open up the depths of our hearts, our troubles, our struggles to him, that he might be allowed to see into us. And he wants to do the same for us, that we might know him intimately. Through the Holy Spirit, God is saying, into me see. God gives you his Holy Spirit because he wants you to begin to know the unending depths of his love for you. You haven't even started. You haven't scratched the surface, and neither have I. You see, sometimes we make the mistake. We think being a Christian is just all about having your sins forgiven. It's about a clean slate, having a clear conscience. Or maybe it's just about getting a place in heaven. But Jesus said this. He said, eternal life is knowing God. Simon Ponsonby, who's written a wonderful book on the Holy Spirit that I'd recommend called More, said this, and it's a quote I love. The cross is the door, not the room. The cross is just the way to get to the glory of knowing God. And sometimes for us, it's as if we've been in that prison cell, the door's been flung open, but we haven't actually come out into life with God. Today is such an amazing celebration because God has given us his Spirit that we may know him. And for me, that's just been a journey. Sometimes there's been, you know, deep power encounters with God. Sometimes it's that steady walking with God, reading his word, praying. Last Tuesday morning, I didn't expect it. I was on my own at home praying, and the presence of God descended in the room, and I found myself utterly overwhelmed with the love and beauty of God. He can come to even little me to enable me to know him personally. He can do that for all of us. God is so utterly wonderful, so beautiful, and he's inviting us to know him through his Spirit, and that's an unending journey. I wonder, could you hear Jesus say these words to you today? The Holy Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. Whether you're right at the beginning of your journey with God or whether you've been on the road a while, those are such exciting words. The Holy Spirit takes us out of the prison cell and invites us into the treasure house that is God himself. It's like he takes us by the hand and he shows us the treasures of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy, of glory, of strength. You know, you can pick up God's word and you can read it without the Holy Spirit, and it might just as well be a phone book. But if you pick it up and read it with the Holy Spirit, it comes alive And as Nikki Gumbel says, Jesus just walks out of the pages. And there is yet more. One of the first words I remember our kids really getting was more. It's a word kids really like, that more word. But that's why Jesus told us that we need to be like children, because we're supposed to be those who are looking for more of the full, abundant life God has for us. And it's not just about receiving God's love, it's about sharing it. Because what the Holy Spirit does is he sends us out of the prison cell, out to exercise. And I loved that bit in the video where they're propelled out of that little dark room. The Holy Spirit enables us to know God, and the Holy Spirit enables us to live like Christ. I don't know if any of you picked up the stuff about SATs, the exams that kids have had to go through this week. And year six at Holy Trinity School took their SATs, and a number of the children, unprecedented number of the children, were in tears by the end of the morning. And so many of the teachers were really upset by what had gone on. And it's been all over the papers that year six children have been distraught because they've all been given these tests that many of them have just been, in effect, IQ tests and not based on the work that they've done. And it's stupid and it's wrong. But SATs, you see, don't measure what matters. And there's lots of things we measure wrong. And often we measure the abundance of our life by what we have. And actually, a God-given measure of abundance is what we give. And that's why our vision as a church is to be otherly. And that's actually an invitation to life in abundance. See, God has more for us, more for you. He doesn't just want to be with you in your quiet times. He wants to do life with you. He propels us out of the prison mentality to change a needy world. And that's a marker of the Holy Spirit. If you're sat in your room, then you haven't experienced the fullness of what God has for you. And that 10,000 duvet might sound comfy, but there's a far deeper satisfaction that comes from making a difference. And actually, psychologists say that the deepest satisfaction comes from knowing that your life is actually making a difference. And God's plan for us here, this little group here in Richmond, is that we would be world changers. And he has done it again and again and again through little groups of people, through the Wilberforces, the Shaftesbury's, through those who have been willing to consecrate their lives to him. God's plan for you is to be part of seeing his kingdom come. And if you haven't seen how, if you haven't seen what that means in your life, ask him. Say to him, Lord, I want to be a part of that. And he'll show you. And if you want to come and talk to us, we'd love to talk to you about it, because that's the vision, that together as God's people, we reach out and see his kingdom come. So let's just read this promise together again. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit will take the love of God and make it known to you. And he'll take the power of God and make it known to you, to see your life and those around you transformed. And that includes the gifts of miracles and prophecies. It includes gifts of love for those you thought you could not love. And it includes gifts of healing for the broken. And we've already seen God do wonderful things, but I really believe he has so much more for us. Many of you here know my dad, and he became a Christian. He was from a non-Christian home. He became a Christian in his late teens, really properly went in the army, actually, just after he'd left school. And he went on, he was a devoted Christian, loved the Bible, and he'd seen God use him. You know, there's no question that there'd been a measure of the presence of God that he had seen. And in his 30s, he heard about being filled with the Holy Spirit in his early 30s. And it was the 1960s, maybe late 20s, early 30s. And God stirred him. And he'd actually written a paper, because he was very sort of academic, all about how the gifts of the Holy Spirit had stopped with Acts and, you know, you got what you got. And he heard about this and his heart was stirred. And he tells this story, which I really love, about how as a white English public school boy, school man, whatever, in the somewhat racist 1960s, he went to be prayed for by a black American Pentecostal. So many things about that that he might have found difficult. And he was filled with the Spirit of God. And he received the gift of tongues, which is a prayer language which God can often gives with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he went on to go to Kenya, where he planted 26 churches. And I believe there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God on him to send him out, because there is always more of God when we give ourselves more of him. So, what do we do? What do we have to do so that we don't live a diminished prison cell life? Paul, who had had ridiculously dramatic encounters with God, healings, miracles, you name it, said this. He said, "I press on to take hold of that for which God took hold of me." He knew that there was more of God for him, more that God had to do through him. And I wonder, do you? He knew that there was more of God for him. And one of the things I love about my mum and dad is that they're in their late 70s, early 80s, and they still know that there's more of God for them. Like Paul, we are called to press on and take hold of all that God has for us. Some years ago, years and years ago, Trevor and I were left a few thousand pounds. And Trevor had to go to the solicitor's office to claim the inheritance. And you see, you have such an inheritance in the Holy Spirit. But God does want you to come to him and receive it. That there's this choice we have to be those who press on, who ask, who seek and receive. And I want to encourage you that this is a gift. When Trevor went to that office, he didn't then have to go and work for the inheritance. He didn't have to go and do something or be some perfect person to get it. He just had to receive it. And because I can be a bit stingy, I was thinking about this and realising that quite often when I'm at a restaurant, I try and work out the meanest tip I can give. Isn't that awful? That's a little confession. And so I can be a bit stingy, and sometimes I can perhaps think that God is like that. And when we were praying beforehand, there was a sense that some of us can perhaps imagine God's like our earthly fathers, a bit mean. But you see, he's not like that. He is so generous. And when we come and ask him for his Holy Spirit, he never, ever, ever says no. All we have to do is ask him. And if you offer him your life, he will fill it with himself. And I just thought there might be some people here who'll go, "Oh, Kate, I tried that. I didn't really feel anything." And actually, you know, it's not about our feelings. They are notoriously untrustworthy. And I love the way David Watson describes the time that he first prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he didn't really feel anything. And he just trusted God's word to Elizabeth, that She was blessed because she believed that what the Lord had said to her would be accomplished. And now every time I ask God to fill me with his Holy Spirit, I just believe he's going to do it. And sometimes there are wonderful feelings, but it doesn't actually matter. The picture Simon Ponsonby has in his book, which I really love, is of a tap. And I resonate with this because we have a kitchen sink, and a few of you have been and turned the tap on our kitchen sink, and occasionally it just explodes at you. And if you happen to have a load of dirty scummy washing up in there, you get sprayed with all of it, which has happened to a few unwitting visitors. I think Ellie's laughing because it's happened to her. And sometimes you turn it on and there's like a, you know, just a steady flow. And I think that's right with us, with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there's just a of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes there's just a steady flow, and it's day by day turning my life over to the Lord, saying, fill me up. I just want more of you. I want to be available to you. I really want to do life with you. Because actually, it doesn't matter how it happens. What matters is, are you offering yourself day after day to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you might know all that God has for you? And I want to encourage you that if you do that, you will be transformed. I've seen it happen to too many people, that those who daily offer their lives again and again to God, they get changed and they get propelled out of that prison cell into life in all its fullness.